In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I always love listening to those commercials on the radio that consist of 50 seconds of somebody shilling the product. And then in the last 10 seconds, they bring on that guy who can talk really quickly. You know the guy, right? He says things like, offer subject to terms and conditions. Some restrictions may apply. 0% financing only available to certain customers. Your marriage may vary. Results not guaranteed. Talk to your doctor. Anything we said in the last 50 seconds may not be true. I guess this is stuff that has to be said, but nobody wants to say it, hence the breathlessness of the delivery. Well, at the end of today's reading from Mark, it strikes me that we have something that's a little like this. Now, like all good commercials, this reading really packs things in. It's very short. It's a twofer. You get two parables in five sentences. And then stuck on the end of this, we have a strange saying. We know all the rest of it. We know the parable of the growing seed. We know the parable of the mustard seed. They're very familiar to us. And we probably kind of ignore that last sentence. It's like the small print. It says, with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything to his disciples. It's tempting to skip over this sentence. We've two rich parables, we've enough for a lifetime of a childhood of Sunday school projects, a lifetime of contemplation. And we know that Jesus spoke in parables, so what does this add? Maybe nothing. Maybe we should just have had Mother Paula skip by it as fast as she could. Like, words of Jesus are available in parable form only. Full explanation is only available to the apostles. So, what's going on here? Well, the Gospel of Mark is actually pretty short and businesslike. Unlike the other Gospels, there's no preamble, there's no genealogy, there's no dedication, there's no setting of the story in history. Mark sets out as he is going to continue. He starts the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then he's off to the races. We're talking about John the Baptist. So what is this good news of which Mark speaks? Well, he makes it pretty clear very early on. In Mark, the good news is the good news of the kingdom of God. Mark mentions the kingdom of God 17 times in a very short book. Most of those mentions are in these first few chapters that we're going through right now. So if the good news is the good news of the kingdom of God, the only question we now have to answer is, what's the kingdom of God? So how long have we got? The problem with this is we don't really have the words to describe the kingdom. We lack the understanding, we lack the ideas, concepts that can express in linear thought, the way we think, the magnificence, the wonder, the grace, the peace of God's kingdom. And maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe we don't need words. Maybe we can take ourselves off to a mountaintop hermitage, or a monastery, or a convent, join a silent order, spend the rest of our lives in silent contemplation of the kingdom of God. Or maybe if that's not the life for us, we can take a kind of internal vow of silence and say, you know what, we're not going to talk about this. I'll just keep this to myself and be in prayer and hope that that's enough to support our belief and understanding. The problem is that words are very important. Unless you are a member of a silent order, we spend our days talking to each other. And when we're not talking to each other, we're talking to ourselves. Our inner lives and our outer lives are verbal in nature. We talk about everything that we do. And if we don't bring God into that ongoing conversation, we are missing a huge, huge opportunity. And words are important in another way. You know, we may never fully succeed in getting to a full logical linear explanation, but trying to cultivate a deeper understanding is important. Without it, we become vulnerable. So unless we're some kind of mystic, we really ought to do that. Because if somebody comes along, and people do, maybe you've had this experience, if somebody knows that you are a Christian, so they'll come up to you and say, okay, what do you believe? Does anyone have the the answer like that? No, we kind of, well, we stumble around. We might reach for the creed, but that doesn't really kind of get to the heart of what we're doing. And the more we do it, the trap is we start to doubt ourselves. So we need to do something in our verbal lives, in our thinking lives, in our rational thought lives, as well as in our prayer and contemplation, to engage with the Word of God and to engage with the idea of the Kingdom of God. And that brings us back to this sentence in Mark. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. Now, I'm having a problem with this last sentence. Like, is there some kind of hidden knowledge of something that was going on? Jesus really just got down to the basics of it. I can imagine the scene. You know, he's been out, he's told the parable of the mustard seed, and then he gathers the disciples together in the evening and says, okay, guys, settle down. Let me tell you what's going on with this mustard seed business. So when we were making the universe, we came up with this idea of something called DNA. And there's DNA in the mustard seed. And then he goes off in the world's first lecture on molecular biology to a bunch of fishermen who were kind of sitting there, totally lost it, and it took us another 1950 years to find out. I don't think that was the kind of explaining that Jesus was doing. The disciples, as we know, were an argumentative, doubting, quarrelsome bunch anyway. They wouldn't sit still and just listen. There are no dialogues where we hear of Jesus just talking and they're kind of listening there. It's all about interaction. I can imagine it being interactive, back and forth, question and answer, argument and counter-argument, breaking it down and building it back up again. Kind of like the first ever Bible study classes. Although the Bibles would take a couple of hundred years to get delivered, but we will do that. The best Bible studies today are exactly like that. They're not somebody standing in front while everybody listens carefully. So I have to be careful what I say here, right? We interact. We engage. We make digging into the world word a team sport. So that's what we need to do. We need to increase our understanding and experience of the kingdom of God by reproducing exactly that. There is a place for quiet contemplation. We can seek the kingdom of God in the quiet moments between thoughts, between breaths. But we should also seek to engage and come together in a spirit of openness, questioning, seeking, even doubt and skepticism. And dig into the Word of God, dig into the prophets, dig into the Psalms, dig into the parables. We can't do this alone. And we can't do it just by showing up and listening to somebody else's words. We need to engage. God gave us the gift of intelligence and language, and we ought to use them. We should at least try to tackle the big questions, to ponder the imponderable, and face up to our own doubts. We'll never be quite grounded in faith if we don't do that. So let's read. Let's learn. Let's swap opinions. Let's go back and forth. Let's argue. Let's share our doubts and explain our certainties. Let's ask questions and let's offer answers. And let's do it together. I started my sermon talking about commercials, and I actually want to finish with one. Education for Ministry, EFM as it's usually called, is a program that's running here at St. Francis, has been for the last 3 years, and we're seeking to recruit more people into this, so enrollment is open. EFM is a big commitment, but it's a program that's designed to give lay people a thorough education for the work of ministry, and we are all ministers in the church. I won't talk much more about it today. EFM is bringing you the coffee time goodies, so come and get some cake and some cookies and a coffee, and come and talk to us about what EFM is all about. If you want to engage, EFM is the place to do it. And that's the end of the commercial. And now you're probably wondering, is there any small print? Not really. I would say your results may vary, but whatever results you get will be a definite step in the right direction. Amen.